Welcome back to the Digital Orthopedics Podcast and our audio series from the 9th Annual DOC-SF Experience. My name is Stefano Bini, and I am the host of this podcast and the founder and chair of the DOC-SF Conference. In this opening session of DOC-SF, Dr. Daniel Kraft, a bone marrow transplant physician at Stanford and faculty member there, as well as the founder and chair of the Next Med Conference, highly recommended, amazing event, provides an engaging overview of the future of AI and robotics in healthcare and orthopedics, highlighting insights from generative AI, robotic surgery, digital therapeutics, and multimodal health modules. The talk explores the rapid advancements and potential of these technologies to transform healthcare. He places emphasis on the integration, democratization, and ethical considerations of artificial intelligence, with examples including digital twins, augmented reality, virtual reality applications, and wearable tech. The session underscores the importance of thinking exponentially and proactively to anticipate the needs and possibilities of orthopedic care in the next decade. Enjoy the talk.
Good morning. My name is Scott, and welcome to DOC-SF. I'm honored to be here and to have the distinct pleasure to introduce to you the founder and an orthopedic surgeon at UCSF, Dr. Stefano Bini.
Several years now, I really appreciate all the work you've done in that space. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so we have an incredible program ahead of us today. I cannot be more excited for it. And specifically, we have three buckets of guests that I want to mention right now. The first one is our faculty. They're an extraordinary group. I'm super proud, and I want to make sure that we get a chance to thank them all. Those of you who are in the audience who are speakers, say thank you for coming. Like, everybody, give them a quick round of applause because they've all committed time, energy, resources to being here. I think they're all true educators. And in that context, I'm really proud. Also proud and honored that in the audience today, we have my parents. And it's for a conference on innovation, they could not be better guests because my father, this year, for his innovative work in architecture, this year alone, got 3 honorary doctorates from various universities, had the 4th book published about his work in his life. And to that extent, I would like to honor him for that and also thank my mother for making all that possible because I know you couldn't have done it by yourself. Lastly, I'd like to bring up to stage, welcome to the DOC-SF stage for the first time, Dr. Ben Ma. Ben Ma was recently anointed the new chair of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. He is an extremely well-known, accomplished surgeon, but I would take a guess, Ben, that the one honor that you are most proud of is when you received the teaching award from UCSF. Would that be about right? That's a pretty difficult award to get, and congratulations on achieving. Thank you for coming, DOC-SF. We look forward to hearing what your vision is from the department.
Well, thank you. Wow, this is impressive. You know, like people from all over the world and people from all around the country fly over to San Francisco. I've been following DOC-SF for the past 8 years. Yeah. This, and kind of seeing the exciting development. I've been at UCSF for 20 years. I've kind of witnessed some of the growth, some of the impact technology kind of changed how we practice medicine. Being in Silicon Valley, being in the Bay Area, I think we actually primed to kind of, be one of the leaders in terms of kind of implementing some of these new technology and kind of how we're thinking about patients. I benefit a lot from some of the discoveries that the group has done over the years. I'm extremely excited about the topic this year, right? Robotic surgery, generative AI, how to make my clinic, it goes a lot quicker. Also, pretty exciting over there. I look at the lineup for the faculty and also speakers. Very exciting. So looking forward to all the discussion. So without further ado, I don't want to hold up the conference. So congratulations, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be back at DOC-SF. Thanks for Stefano and a real inspiration in the convergence of digital and technology and orthopedics. My relation to orthopedics is I'm a bone marrow transplant physician by background, used to be on faculty at UCSF. And I've got 8 minutes to sort of set up the day a little bit about the future of AI and robotically enabled health and medicine and get you thinking about what's coming next and the implications for orthopedics writ large. I got up really early this morning. All these surgeons get up early. So I thought I'd do a little bit of art, about the future of orthopedics in San Francisco. Of course, I'm cheating like all of us are now with GPT to do our art and everything else. And, it's much better than DALL-E 3 is much better than DALL-E 2. And now you can even start to make your videos with generative AI, flying paper airplanes. It's still not perfect. In big picture sense, we're all starting to plug in AI, Gen AI into our workflows at Boston Children's, where I train, at Mass General, at Stanford, at UCSF. There's lots of ways to leverage this into improving your SCUT work. And this is an old version of DocsGPT. You can write instructions and have them translate them to Spanish or other elements. I'm sure many of you are playing with these new tools. But, you know, most relevantly, you know, what's going to be implication for our cognitive abilities? As even a year ago, these elements could do a much better job than me, at least passing the internal medicine boards. And as of last month, the new O1 from OpenAI could do a level of order magnitude better. So clearly things are moving very, very quickly, and we'll be discussing that later today. You know, it's moving faster than we can keep up with regulatory and reimbursement and ethics and policy. And so our challenge is, how do we integrate this into the future of orthopedics going forward, recognizing that today it's still early days, right? GPT only launched less than 2 years ago, this month, 2 years ago. And so our opportunity is to not just think about the challenges, but think a little bit forward, but also think about some of the downsides. There's a famous quote from Sam Altman, GPT is like an e-bike for your mind, which is great, but my takeaway is then, what if your kids never learn how to ride a regular bike, or never develop their own biking muscles, or a medical student never develops a differential diagnosis without the help of AI? You know, when will it be malpractice not to have used the AI for helping make a diagnostic or therapeutic decision? But I think big picture, I'm an optimist. This is going to not move from generative AI but to generative health. Culture, personality. It'll speak to you in English or Spanish or Italian, know where you've been, what's next for you, and communicate that. So we'll talk about agentic health going forward. And big picture, the opportunities today are to make health, biomedicine, orthopedics much more intelligent, much more precise, more personalized, data-driven, and hopefully democratized and more accessible around the planet, and take us in a big sense from where we are now, intermittent reactive sick care, to a future that's much more proactive, health-oriented, leveraging the power of AI and crowdsourced knowledge to really move the needle across the healthcare continuum. And of course, we have a whole new set of tools. We'll be talking about them today, from robotic surgery to digital therapeutics to CRISPR to virtual and augmented reality. These didn't exist when I was a Stanford medical student 20-something years ago. And they're the new tools for all of us to reimagine healthcare and orthopedics. And the art of the possible in the next 2, 5, and 10 years is going to be quite incredible. And of course, the technology can be great, but it needs to align with incentives and workflows. We all know that we don't practice evidence-based medicine. We practice reimbursement-based medicine. So that needs to shift as well as we go forward. As Stefano mentioned, I've sort of played an interesting role looking at the super convergence of technology and healthcare. Chair of Medicine, a program used to be called Exponential Medicine, now called Next Med Health, where we bring together folks from the Eric Topols and the Dean Kamens of the world and famous orthopedic surgeons to look at the future through this cross-disciplinary lens. You have to get out of your old silos. Our next one will be in just bringing folks from different fields to look at where the puck is going. And sometimes we can experience that the puck is moving faster than we might expect. And one example, if you haven't played with this yet, there's this new platform, notebooklm.google.com, where you can upload, as I did, Stefano's background and the website from DocSF. And 2 minutes later, it had produced a podcast. Here's what it sounds like.
So today, we're really diving deep into the future of orthopedics. It seems like everywhere you look now, someone's talking about AI.
Yeah.
And what it's going to do for, well, everything, including your bum knee.
Well, that's right.
And you've given me a ton of info on this DOCSF conference, which, from the looks of it, is the place to be if you want to see the future of orthopedics, like right now.
Yeah, it seems like it.
So before we get too far, what are you hoping to get out of this deep dive today? Do you want to walk away really understanding?
It goes on for like 10 minutes. That was just generated by an AI agent, and you have two people talking to each other. Sounds completely natural. You can take your papers and upload them. It'll give you a great way to listen to science as you drive. So pretty amazing. That's the art of the possible today. And so I think it's not going to be about just Gen AI or any genome or multiome, but this new realm of sort of multimodal health, taking our genetic information. Everyone's going to get a sequence now for $100 and making that relevant even in the orthopedic clinic. It's going to be leveraging all these different modalities, or microbiome, genome, metabolome, sociome, et cetera, and integrating them into what's often called the digital twin, which I think we'll be talking about at large. And of course, these things are moving exponentially. You need to be thinking exponentially. Moore's Law, of course, is integrating into the digital world of orthopedics. All these technologies we grew up with are now sort of digitized and sometimes have sort of dissolved completely, moving from an entire desk into our sort of augmented reality glasses or contact lenses. And so you need to be thinking exponentially and digitally. A smartphone today can already do a lot, and it's playing a role in almost every field. It's dissolving into our still kludgy and expensive Apple Vision Pros, but soon those will be in our AR-enabled contact lenses, or enable us to have sort of these agents come to us that often we know aren't real, but we respond to them as if they're real. And I think part of the role in the sort of the workflow and then the other elements of orthopedics and beyond is to have these sort of AI agents. I don't think you want to frame as replacing a nurse for $9 an hour, but they can make the phone calls and the sort of SCUT work can be done. And I just made this on the way up here. You can turn yourself into an agent. Here we go.
Hey, everyone. This is Daniel's avatar.
and on behalf of digital representations everywhere, I'm wishing you a terrific Alliance for Artificial Intelligence in Healthcare member meeting.
Oh, wrong one. But wrong meeting. So I didn't put it in there properly. But you can make that and type whatever you want, and it'll talk for you. And so these agents will show up in all sorts of different places, and they'll be helping you with your musculoskeletal care and coaching. And in some cases, will be integrated into your day-to-day workflow. So of course, AR, VR, XR, spatial computing is getting interesting. I'm sure many of you are starting to leverage that to leverage these glasses and beyond, as we've seen from Meta. Are going to be blending in augmented reality in all sorts of modalities. I like lessons from aviation since I'm a pilot. I used to fly a Cessna 150 with an analog cockpit. My new plane has a complete glass cockpit with touchscreen and real-time GPS and real-time situational awareness. When will that come to the, not just the fighter cockpit, but to the OR? And we're seeing emergences of platforms bringing sort of that augmented reality view for you as a surgeon. And of course, for the patient, blending AR, VR, XR to keep folks engaged in the physical therapy, which no one likes to do, or video games for mental health that are now becoming FDA cleared in all sorts of interesting ways that can help with rehab and mental health for all of us. And of course, as a training tool, thinking about the future of medical education, right? We've seen OSU VR here over the years really getting impressive to move from see one, do one, teach one to see one, simulate one. And more than just training, I think we're going to see this crowdsourced knowledge come to each of us in the clinic and the operating room and beyond to sort of guide us and take the below average surgeon and make them 95th percentile. And of course, as we'll talk more about where's robotics going to go with this big picture, and I just saw a Waymo out there, we're going to move from sort of driver assist to increasingly clinician and surgical assist writ large. Of course, diagnostics plays a role in all of our lives. This is my sort of digital doctor's bag of tools, which means you can sort of bring care anywhere, whether you're a specialist or a community health worker. We're going to probably in the next decade be able to go to your corner pharmacy, get a full body scan in 10 minutes, read by the AI radio vital signs without needing to wear anything. And we're seeing this sort of super convergence of leveraging our microphones to do voice as a biomarker, to pick up everything from your mental health challenges in a patient to heart disease to neurologic disease, or is that cough, a croup, COVID, or tuberculosis, or even pre-screen for diabetes using sound. Of course, in orthopedics and beyond, you can use wearables and other wearables in all sorts of interesting ways. They're going well beyond the Fitbit. We're going to see in the next year or two wearable devices that do real-time blood sugar, real-time blood pressure, patchables that are powered by body movement, and the simple stuff. I stole the slide from Stefano, but I love this idea that you could use small data to see how someone's doing after a total hip or total knee replacement. And this idea that Stefano will probably talk more about is mobility as a vital sign. Now, there's lots of ways to look at mobility as a vital sign, from sensor belts to cameras that can, for free, basically give you a wearable score. The next generation of devices, I got to try out this 3D printed AI-enabled exoskeleton that was driving me around, are going to be part of our future of care. Or Stefano Bini, who will be at NextMed this year on the next generation of prosthetics. And those, they can just upskill all of us to walk faster or better with sort of exoboots that are coming to market. And we'll see, I think, a whole generation of these that are going to be super incredible. My friend Dean Kamen also building devices in that realm. I'm going to skip through wearable the elements. I think what's really interesting as we look forward is these can start to democratize all elements of care. I have a seed stage venture fund. We just funded a company with Hindi or any other language. It can do differential diagnosis. It can now read your x-rays. You can have a whole clinician assist platform as well. So these tools will sometimes leapfrog the US and come back in interesting ways. And of course, can start to upskill us with radiology, looking at the back of the eyeball, drug discovery, as we've seen the Nobel Prize for Foldit. Really kind of exciting era to bring all these technologies together writ large. And big picture, we know that it's too much data today to make sense of. We're going to see a whole millennia, whether it's predict sepsis or falls, or this low-hanging fruit to enable us to write our notes. I'm sure many of you are using Abridge or Nuance to help write your notes today. We're seeing the blending, as we'll talk more about, of AI machine learning with robotics. Today, you can port yourself as an avatar, or increasingly, these will become more and more autonomized and can be your pharmacist to sort the pills or be helping you in the operating room. And hopefully, they'll be cuddly and friendly moving forward. Watch the space. We're going to have humanoid embodied robots at scale across the planet in the next decade. I'll close with the last 2 minutes of what's exciting in digital health. That's a bit of the theme here with DocSF. A lot is in the space. I think big picture, we're going to start to move from quantified self to quantified health. This data is going to start to flow to you from your patients in real time. There's already an explosion of technologies in the digital space. Along with my co-founder, Parisa Vitakos here, we've just built a platform called digital.health, where you can go and find over 5,000 now digital health solutions, whether it's an AliveCor solutions around diabetes, or we have a whole section on digital orthopedics. So check out digital.health as a platform to see what's available today. And what is exciting now is not just having thousands of these tools, but how do you present them to the patient? How do you use AI and coaching for prehab or posthab? How do we think about not being overwhelmed as clinicians by too much data, but bringing that smartly into our workflow? Because today we have lots of data, but it's often very siloed and disconnected. Our challenge is to go from data to insights and knowledge and narrow that gap and not take 17 years or 10 years, but 10 minutes to move that from bedside to website. So I think we're entering this interesting era of potentially crowdsourced health and medicine orthopedics, so a bit of a ways for clinicians. And I'm sort of out of time. I'll just high level kind of
think the art of the possible today is to move from our sort of intermittent reactive sick care model, one that's much more continuous, much more proactive, much more anytime, anywhere, leveraging Gen AI, robotics, new forms of insights to really, you know, level us up. Our virtualized care is going to go away and end up in this sort of new metaverse where we're going to interact with our patients and our colleagues in new ways. So watch the space. It's an exciting time for us to build this new future of digitally enabled orthopedics, enhanced with AI and many other fields that are kind of super converging. It's not just about AI, robotics, or wearables. It's how we kind of mash them up to solve our challenges in orthopedics of today. So don't think about where we are in 2024, but be like Wayne Gretzky and skate to where we're going to be in 2034. It's a really exciting time for all of the leadership and insights and metal steps as we go forward. And this is, if anyone's doing bone marrow harvesting, I actually have a technology for that as well. So with that, done with my little opening part, and I think I hand it back to Fabrizio to take our next shot at the future, and then we'll have a little bit of a discussion.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Digital Orthopedics Podcast, and hope you'll make a note to join us for the next Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco in October. Take care. Bye.